Own a small biz and need a reliable way to reach new customers? Try TikTok for Business.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today with TikTok for Business. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
At Lowe's, before the holidays is the perfect time for upgrades and upkeep. During Black Friday, get up to 50% off select major appliances and buy more to save more with up to an additional 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Plus, grab select DeWalt 20-volt max drill or impact driver kits for just $99. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 12/3. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Trey Essex joining us, and he's with us right now. Steelers Super Bowl champion, all-around good guy, and a host of the Snap Count Show with Charlie Batch. Good morning, Trey. Thanks for making time for us, buddy.
Good morning, fellas. I know I'm a little behind, so my apologies, but as always, it's good to see y'all.
It is great to see you. It's okay. We dovetailed into a conversation about how I was going to wrangle a wild turkey for Thanksgiving, so it all it all worked out for everybody. Someone, by the way,
still walking around in Pittsburgh. I remember when I was on Grubbs Road, I had like a gang of turkeys in my backyard. So they still do that, right?
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely, and you can't tell me one of them ain't like the runt of the litter, Dorn.
They don't taste good.
It's a turkey, man.
It doesn't taste good.
You had them before?
I know people who have, and they said that they're real greasy and they have like a weird kind of gamey taste to them.
You need to learn for yourself, Dorn. Can you take another
You and me could take out a turkey.
I would definitely take out a turkey.
See?
He could not take out a turkey. He is a turkey.
Trey with us on the fan hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. James Harrison really critical of the defensive scheme after the game against the Bears. Trey, as was Patrick Queen, the call was coming from inside the house. I mean, they're running cover three in the red zone, and it gets beat by four verts. They're 10 yards off the ball on a third and five. So many different things. I mean, are you seeing the same stuff that everyone but Mike Tomlin is clearly seeing, Trey?
It's a scheme thing, dude. It's all scheme. The talent is there, and for us to have, and I used this analogy, I guess, last week, but it applies every week, Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde, for us to go out there and play the way we played against a Colts team, for us to play the way we played last week versus one of the hottest offensive teams in the league, in the Bengals last week, and then to come out and just do that, I don't understand. I do understand. It is definitely scheme because the talent is there. And when you have the players come after the game and just say they don't know, when Wilson comes, it's like we're the best defense on one play and they were not on other plays. Like this is points strictly to the coaching and the positions that they're being put in on a play-to-play, game-to-game basis because it's not consistent and these guys seem to be confused.
Trey, from your estimation, has the offensive line held up enough for the Steelers to have explosive plays? Now, we know that they don't throw that far down the field. They don't throw over the middle of the field, which is the most damning and frustrating thing I've seen in the NFL atmosphere. But has the offensive line held up, for the most part, for them to do something like that if they wanted to.
I tell you this, Dorn, they more than held up, man. They played well on Sunday. And that was the biggest question mark coming into this game. And they, granted, did not have a fast start to the season, but each week, week in and week out, they've improved. And now I think they're playing their best ball. So they're more than holding up. They're creating opportunities for us offensively. We ran the ball extremely well. Now, granted, a lot of our plays were chunk plays. They had a big 50-yard run with Gainwell on the fake tush push. But, no, they were grinding these guys out. And Arthur Smith did a good job. I am critical in the rhythm of his play calling sometimes. Not reading the room sometimes when I think we are gashing them and you want to throw in a play action pass on first down that we get a sack on and then you try to run inside zone on the next play. Some of it's a rhythm thing that I think he could improve upon, but by and large, this offensive line is playing some really good ball right now across the board. Broderick, a guy we've been very critical of, played his butt off this weekend before he went out with that injury. I'm about three quarters of the way through film, upgrading the offensive line. But to your question, Doran, they are more than holding their end of the bargain.
Trey Essex, two-time Super Bowl champion, host of the Snap Count Show with Charlie Batch, our guest here on this Tuesday before Thanksgiving. Thoughts on Darnell Washington being asked to block Montez Sweat one-on-one?
He blocked him. That particular sack that on the first one. I haven't gotten to the second one.
Yeah, the first one was the one where Rudolph kind of escaped into the pressure, didn't he?
Yeah, he kind of escaped into the pressure, stepped in, and this is not Mason's strong point. He is not going to extend plays that often. He had that 1-2-yard scramble earlier, but I don't give that first sack to Darnell. I got to watch the second one. But, I mean, I would trust him to block anybody, so I don't have a huge issue for it. But you wouldn't want, typically speaking, your tight end blocking their best defensive end. But if anybody could do it, it's Darnell. So, knowing him, knowing I don't mind him being put in this position, sometimes you just get got. The first time, it wasn't his problem. Second time, maybe, and I'll watch it here in a little bit, he just got, and that's fine. I mean, I'll live with Darnell Washington blocking most guys on the defensive end.
Trey, you referred to this team as Jekyll and Hyde, and I totally agree. Would it shock you if they beat the Bills on Sunday?
Nope.
Right?
And the Bills are very beatable right now, too. Right. They are not the Bills from even last year or the year before. Even though you got the X factor in Josh Allen, who scares me to death with this defense. But I would not be surprised if we came out and we were whoever is the good person in Jekyll and Hyde. I think Jekyll's the bad person, right? We'll be Hyde on Sunday.
That's a great question.
Right? I think it's Dr. Jekyll. So I think the doctor's probably a mad
doctor's
scientist.
The good guy and Mr. Hyde.
I think Jekyll's a scientist, mad scientist, maybe. I don't know.
Okay, that sounds right.
I mean, so Dr. Jekyll, he got his PhD. Mr. Hyde, I mean, not a learned man.
Not a learned man at all. So, but yeah, man, I would not be surprised if you come out and play a good game, but I wouldn't be surprised if he put up a stinker. That's just how we are right now. We don't know what we're going to get. I think Mark put it best in his summary of the game. We don't know who we're going to game, series to series, play to play. Like, it could look completely good one play, and then the next, yeah.
You talking about Caboli?
Yeah.
Man, I didn't know anybody read that stuff. All right,
it's
Trey.
It's a long read. It is a long read.
But it is long, and then I click out of it, and then it's gone. And I got to go back and find it again and scroll for days. Trey, we appreciate your time. As always, man, have a happy Thanksgiving, and we will talk to you next week.
Good stuff, fellas. Happy Thanksgiving to you guys as well. Oh, real quick before you go, I need to know favorite dishes. What's the number one Thanksgiving dish for you guys?
Sweet potato pie.
That's for you. Macaroni and cheese.
Okay. All right, fellas. Carbs all day. I love it.
What about you?
Yeah.
I'm a fried turkey guy.
Oh,
that's anything with gravy.
Yes.
Oh, I'm a gravy guy. I put gravy on everything.
I'm making three fried turkeys. Three of them.
I love it. Did you use the Cajun injection butter?
No, but I could do that. Yeah. Send me that.
I'm going to send that to you. It's this Creole butter that you inject, and it's absolutely amazing.
Yep.
It'll change your life.
Yes. Send that to me, please.
Thank you, Trey.
I got you, brother. Have a good one.
Thanks, Trey.
You too. What a guy.
Yep.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is. With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews,
all on the app. Download today.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Black Friday? More like Black Fry-yay. Shop the DSW Black Friday sale and take 30% off almost all the shoes, accessories, and giftable goodies we've got at DSW.com. Plus 30% off just about every regular price item at your DSW store. Score shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget. So carpe the deal. Head to Designer Shoe Warehouse and get that gift list done. DSW, let us surprise you.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Find new customers on a platform that's here to stay. With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
Tomlinisms of the week really sucked, so I just picked the injuries. And a lot of them. Didn't think I was going to hear Tomlin declare Broderick Jones out. Calvin Anderson / Andrus Peat now vying for that spot. Derek Harmon not going to play. Mike Tomlin did sing the praises of Y.A. Black. And I don't think that Harmon's going to be as big of a loss. I think their depth is hurting now. But I don't think there's going to be a huge drop-off from Harmon to Black. I'm not sure there's going to be a huge drop-off from Jones to Peat or Anderson. Highsmith potentially coming back. All right. I think Herbig, although he was non-existent and invisible Sunday against a backup left tackle, which isn't good. He's been overall a very good player. And I do think the Steelers, though, have had some success having all three of those guys on the field at the same time. The Highsmith thing is just a pain in the ass because he gets hurt a lot and he's making a lot of money. And that's a deadly combo.
I mean, I think he's
especially when
be you've traded.
Got a great backup behind him in Herbig.
I think he's going to be sent somewhere else this offseason.
I think you're right. Or, well, here's the thing. Who's going to take that contract?
That's true. I mean, even as I said that out loud, that's the other thing that creeps
you're
gonna in my
head. You're going to have to take some of that money on, I think, potentially.
Probably. They still should have done the my famed Highsmith from McLaurin deal a couple years ago. Either way.
Although he's had his fair share of injuries this year,
he's
too.
Scary Terry's been, it's the injury report that's been scary. I would have nominated for this, just for the record. Talking about Khalil Shakir and other Buffalo players.
Yeah.
Mike said something to the effect of, instead of saying they can often take short passes and make big gains out of them, Mike said that they are able to make a lot of yards off of minimal risk schematic endeavors.
Which, by the way, is his favorite thing in an offense.
Catch and run.
Yes.
Can you?
Wait, you're telling me
I can throw the ball 5 yards to somebody and he might take it the distance? That's why Mike would probably nominate Jaylen Warren for the Hall of Fame based on that.
And yet he plays Gainwell over him constantly, although
Gainwell makes some nice plays too.
Good games. Yeah. And then the last two, limited, we'll see, Joey Porter and DK Metcalf. I'll tell you what, I'll have a different take on this game if DK Metcalf doesn't play. Because then what are you looking at? MVS, come on down, I think would be the answer. And we'd finally see him to see if he can gain back some of that rapport he's had with Aaron Rodgers over the years. I think that's probably what they would do.
I got bad news, but I got a different thought for a second.
Please,
I know you're citing the wide receivers, but Porter, if he doesn't play, suddenly looking at 4 missed games for him now.
Yep.
If he doesn't play in this game, you got to start thinking about, do you want Joey Porter Jr. to get another contract after 3 years with the team? He's been steady on the field the first 2 years, but missing 4 games and I think being average when he's been out there, not great.
I think his play is perked up and improved since the safety changes for the Steelers, putting Ramsey and Duggar back there. But, you know, not being available is a big problem. Tomlin was asked about Asante Samuel Jr. today. We all went, ooh, wow, they got him. And only on the practice squad. Good pickup. Low risk, potentially high reward. Here's Tomlin on Samuel's status.
Always, you know, open to our practice squad guys elevating, particularly those with the resume like Samuel's. And so he's only been here a short period of time. He's been working his tail off to not only get in football conditioning, but learn what to do. And it's been a good endeavor thus far, but it's too early in the week for me to speculate.
That makes me think he's got a decent chance of getting the call up, because that's way more effusive praise for him than anything he has said about MVS in these press conferences. He's made MVS basically just sound like it was a favor to Aaron Rodgers and they needed somebody with a pulse to put on their practice squad.
I saw somebody in the middle of that game with the wide receivers doing nothing say MVS must be running a 5.0 40.
Yeah.
If he can't
Who
get
said
on the
that?
Field.
I saw that too and I agreed.
It was a delightful tweet. I enjoyed that.
And Melzi, you're a delight to work with.
Really?
Yes.
I think I'm a mostly surly, cynical, often miserable person, but thanks.
That was our PM team Talmudism of the week.
Coney and Mongoose from the Post-Gazette. You can take a look at him, and it's a rare sighting. If you want to take a look, go to our YouTube channel. You can get there through our website, 937thefan.com, or just go straight to YouTube. He comes on every week to break down Tomlin. All right. There was some talk of schematics. First, I should tell you, you can't count on much these days, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount+. Watch your local NFL game all season long, kicking off with the juicy Week 13 matchup between the Buffalo Bills and the Pittsburgh Steelers. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. Schematics, certainly a topic here. And I'm not sure that we've talked enough, although I did lead the show with it today, with Patrick Queen, very sort of politely, but definitively, questioning and criticizing the schematics, which is synonymous with the coaching. That happened inside the room, Brian. Were you there?
I was the one asking him the questions, Joe.
Let's go to the tape.
I think sometimes it was schematic issues that we had. It's kind of hard, you know, for two guys that's underneath defenders to try to guard two routes, you know, that's overhanging off the hashes and stuff. As much as you know it, you try to play the run, you try to get back to a bang or whatever it is, it's hard to do that. It's kind of a bad spot to be in, but at the end of the day, we just got to be better, try to recognize and get back.
Is that something you could have adjusted in game?
Yes.
Wow. Is that something you could have adjusted in game? Yes. And I apologize, Brian. I feel scolded for not knowing that you asked those questions.
I scolded him.
But my God, we haven't talked enough about that. We have a leak in the SS Steelers ship here. Patrick Queen from the inside ripping their schematics is what he did, right?
Yeah, and this isn't the first time Patrick Queen's been blunt. You know, I think it was at the end of the season last year. Both losses were so similar that I can't even remember if it was the first loss in Baltimore or the playoff loss, but it was him who kind of went on a tirade about guys not doing their job and people are running wide open as a result of that. This obviously is a little different. This seems like the arrow is pointed upward and not in the good Mike Tomlin way. Another thing that he said, and the other thing too here is like, I mean, you've been in these rooms, Joe. This wasn't Patrick Queen in the shadows of the corner of the locker room off the record telling someone something. This was, had a camera, you know, there's video of it on the Post-Gazette's YouTube site.
Yes, there is.
This was, he got all of his stuff on and he was composed and ready and he wanted to get that off of his chest. So I commend him for being candid. And something else he said at the end of the interview kind of struck me too, was something about players, they can't always be robots. Which I suppose you could take that to mean sometimes we need to just play based on what we're seeing and not what we're called to do in a given play. Now that can get dicey because you start freelancing and then all of a sudden you might screw up worse and you're getting chewed out by your coach. And
yeah,
it just seems like they're disjointed right now and poorly coordinated, at least in some instances. And, you know, for all we know, to be fair to everybody here, Queen may have been talking about one or two plays. Maybe the 25-yard touchdown.
That's a big play.
DJ Moore when he was wide open. Maybe something else, but it can't happen. And he peeled back the curtain that Mike Tomlin did not want to peel back. So, yeah, I mean, that was striking. And as I wrote in my story the next day, like, you don't have to know about overhanging routes off the hashes and bang run plays and that kind of stuff. You don't need to be on top of all your X's and O's. There's very little room for interpretation that he, at least on some occasions, thought that the coaches had a bad call on against what Ben Johnson was running.
All right, let's get to Aaron Rodgers. Limits, do you have Mike Tomlin's answer on Rodgers?
Yes, this is what Mike first said about Aaron unprompted when he said he is expected to be back, and then we'll hear the questioning.
Aaron, obviously, man, worked his tail off to get to us last week, but as I mentioned, over the course of the weekend, it was a prudent and appropriate decision. We'll start this week with great optimism, although we certainly will limit him at the early portions of the week, provide opportunities for the other quarterbacks while preserving him. But again, we're comfortable with the general trajectory, but I'll keep you updated and his level of participation and the quality of his participation over the course of the week will be the greatest indicator.
But Brian, everyone was looking for more of an update.
Was one extra week or a week off enough to alleviate any concerns/fears you might have had about Aaron with his wrist?
I think time will tell. There were so many unknowns last week because it just is lack of work during the course of the week. I think that there'll be less unknowns regarding that topic. And that's what makes this week an encouraging one, and that's why we're hopeful.
The determining factor there is safety. For him, was that a determining factor in pulling him out?
It was just the appropriate thing to do from my perspective.
How much physical work does Aaron need to get to be able to play on Sunday?
Again, you know, what he needs and what others might need are certainly different topics of conversation, but we don't focus on bare minimum in terms of what he needs. Our goal is to, you know, proceed with caution appropriately, while at the same time giving him all the work that we can afford to give him. And so we're just certainly going to live that day by day. He clocks in and visit with Gabe and the training staff every morning, and we kind of build a plan from there.
So here's the question for me, Brian, before you dive into all of that, and it's the simple one. Was Aaron Rodgers medically cleared to play last week? Was he medically ruled out?
Mike was asked that Friday by another Mike, DeFabo, our pal, and he was like, I don't even know what you mean by that question. You know, medically cleared can mean a lot of different things. So he's been, no one will give a straight answer on this situation, which is kind of the Mike Tomlin way a lot of the times. You know, we've never even really gotten a straight answer about the defensive structure of coaching going back to a few years now. So, you know, kind of trying to shroud things in secrecy is a little bit of what they do from time to time. And this strikes me as that again. When he says it was the appropriate thing to do from my perspective, I then interpret that as it was essentially a coach's decision.
Me too.
To not run him out there.
Me too.
So,
I mean, why wouldn't you just say after the fact, like Sunday night, yeah, our doctors felt like he couldn't play. So that was an easy decision for me. He has said that before with people. That he just goes with the doctors. He has never said that with Rodgers yet, that the doctors said he couldn't play. All he said was what he just said was, you know, it was the prudent, appropriate decision. Okay, but whose decision was it? Well, the collective. Well, what do you mean? I mean, to me, if you're medically clear, that's just a yes or no question. Was he medically cleared to play? Yes or no?
Yeah, well, we tried that as a collective on Friday after practice, and it was met with, you know, some confusion and whatnot. But Rodgers said on Wednesday he needed to get the okay. I guess we'll see what he says tomorrow. But, yeah, it ended up being a pretty weird situation. And I was surprised that they held him out.
Me too.
Sunday against the Bears.
Shocked, actually.
Because otherwise – it would have just made a lot more sense last week to make that determination early and say, we know Aaron wants to play, but it's the prudent and appropriate decision right now to give all the reps to Mason Rudolph in practice this week.
Yeah. And that leads to another question. Tomlin saying that Rodgers worked his tail off led to concerns about Rodgers' tail for this week, Brian. And
he has a tailbone injury as well?
I don't know. But it also led to a conversation with Limits and myself about animals that lose their tails and regenerate them. Remember that one, Limits?
Yeah. Salamanders and lizards, apparently, Brian.
Lizards, apparently. So if he worked his tail off, I have genuine concerns about his... Watch his handle heal and his tail will be broken.
Well, at least he didn't work his butt off. You know, that'd be tough. That would bring up open a whole other slew of issues.
Were you good in biology class, Brian? Did you dissect? Horrible. Did you dissect a baby shark or perhaps a pig?
I think we dissected a frog, but even in like whatever year that would have been, 8th, 9th, 10th grade, I knew that sciences were not for me. I knew that math wasn't for me, even
me
by that point of my life. I wish it would have been. It would have been a lot more lucrative path to go down.
What about owl pellets? Remember that story, Joe? I dissected owl pellets in like 7th grade.
Yeah, I found that disturbing. Did you hear about that, Brian?
I did not.
Yeah, Limits biology class, they had him dissect owl pellets.
Owl pellets.
I just remember hating calculus so much in, I don't know, it was junior or senior year.
The whole owl pellets thing went right over his head, Limits. No comment on the owl pellets.
Yeah, he just did not
want
to comment
about
on
owl pellets.
I don't know. I think we may have to get the law enforcement involved here. Why would you make kids dissect owl pellets?
We're trying to learn about the pellets of the owls and the digestion of the owls. Why they say
they could have had Gormy the owl visit their class and give a lecture.
It's for science. So,
Brian, did you know that deer talk?
No, I did not.
Yeah, have you ever heard a deer make sounds, Joe? Like, I have a lot of deer in my yard. And the deer, like, talk to each other, and I hear their sounds that they make. And then I never realized that deer, like, spoke until, like, a year ago.
Funny you should mention that.
How close
that.
Are you getting to the deer limits?
Brian, very close in my neighborhood, like, Brian.
Some
very
of the deer
close.
Will come onto my front porch.
You're not supposed to do that, man. If they feel threatened,
I don't want
them
to.
They can buck you. They can, like, try to run through your door. You don't want those problems.
I'm not inviting them to the front porch. They're just showing up there.
No, but interact. They say if you interact with them, one, it can make them feel more welcomed to be up there, or two, it can make them feel threatened. And that's when you find yourself getting trampled by a deer and you can't make it to work the next
trampled.
Day.
Can you imagine if Limits got into a fight with a deer?
How would I be inviting the deer to the front porch or to the house? How would I be interacting with the deer?
What are you supposed to do if the deer's on your front porch, Brian?
I say hello to them.
Let him in?
I say hello to the
deer. What are you suggesting Limits does?
Well, he's getting close enough to hear them talk is the issue that I have here. Keep
your
distance.
They're loud deer,
Brian. I mean,
what
are we doing?
I'm not going up to the deer and petting them or anything.
My friend Steve.
I asked you, how close are you getting to the deer? You said pretty close. So
yeah, like
yeah, I wouldn't recommend that either, Limits.
Well, they just they bed down in my front yard, and I tried to walk around them one night. They were like laying in the little flower bed, and
so
I was like,
Limits,
oh my gosh.
You're tiptoeing around deer in your yard?
I was.
What the hell is going on here, Brian?
They were trying to sleep in the yard. I have a big yard, Joe. You've seen it.
Well, why are you going out back?
What do you mean going out back?
You're checking on the deer
no,
while they're sleeping?
I pull down the driveway when I get home, and the deer are like in my yard.
What's that sound in my ear,
house.
Brian?
It's the echo from Brian's video.
Sorry about that.
As a side note, my friend Steve Wolf, who lives in Port Allegheny, his family had a pet deer. It's unbelievable. It was a baby deer. I believe they call that a doe. Am I right about that, Limits?
Yeah, a female deer, a young female deer is a doe. Oh, somebody said we did owl pellets. Somebody said that they dissected owl pellets on the text line.
Did they?
Yeah.
I never knew how to say Port Allegheny until Joe just enunciated it.
Port
right
Allegheny.
I wasn't sure if it
Port
was Allegheny.
Allegheny.
It's spelled different.
Well, they found a baby deer who was abandoned by its parents, and they took it in, and it behaved just like a dog and interacted with their dogs. You fed it milk. You petted it. It was unbelievable. Anyway.
Yeah.
Back to the Steelers
defense.
What
about when it gets bigger? Then you just let it go?
Well, I don't know. I wasn't there for that. I'm just relaying a story. Brian seems very cranky today. This began when he snapped on me about the Chris Carter question.
Texter, would you consider a dog barking talking with deer? It's the same thing. A baby deer is a fawn, by the way. A doe is a female deer.
I know. You should have. Either you or Brian should have corrected
me. I'm stupid, so the text line was able to correct it for me.
Brian?
I didn't want to snap on you, Joe.
All right. How about the final field goal? Let's get Tomlin on that, why he didn't rush out the field goal. He didn't have to rush. There was 29 seconds left when Metcalf caught the ball on third down. They could have walked out there and kicked a field goal, but there wasn't even any rustling on the sideline. Nobody was moving. It's not a thought to give your guy who won you a game with a 60-yard field goal a shot at a 64-yard field goal? Here's Tomlin. Limits.
Final play, did you consider a field goal, and did getting the K-ball in factor it in at all to a decision?
I didn't. I didn't feel comfortable with the distance there. I wanted to convert and clock it and play from there. But obviously the fourth down play got batted down at the line of scrimmage, and so the subsequent discussions became mute.
So he wanted to watch Rudolph throw another minuscule pass. This one would have been picked off, at least as I saw it. Instead, it was deflected. Then let a guy who can kick from, absolutely kick from 65 and in, try a field goal? What did you make of that?
I mean, I'm glad it was asked. Clearly, he just decided that it was too far. Maybe that was based on conversations with Boswell. I can't really fault him on that. I mean, that's just, we'll never know. We'll never know if
well,
he
why can't you fault him on that?
Missed it. Because I will never know. Boswell might have missed, and then we would have said, why did you try a 65-yard field goal?
I wouldn't
goal,
say
idiot?
That. I wouldn't say that.
Other people would, though. That's what makes it a close
but why
decision.
But why wasn't that, with a field goal unit even ready to come into the game when they went to the sidelines? Like, I don't know. The whole operation just seems so disorganized, Brian.
They were in the mode of trying to scramble, I guess, and get more yardage and – you know, maybe they would have clocked it, or if they'd have gotten out of bounds, then they could have gotten the team ready. But obviously, based on Mike Tomlin's answer, he wanted them closer than 65.
Well, at least they're one of the elite teams in the league on third downs and two or less. I think we can all take solace in that. Yes?
They're one of the elite teams at fake tight end sneaks.
That's
them and the Ravens.
Yeah, they're pretty. Listen, the bright point in this game for me was the Kenneth Gainwell fake tush push or tush push end around. That was
great
tremendous.
Impeccable call by Arthur Smith.
Would we have well said executed. It, though, if Gainwell got tackled?
We probably would have said, yeah, at least it's creative, it's innovative.
No,
it's
we wouldn't have limits. We would have ripped Arthur Smith to
what
shreds.
What would we have done? We would have said, oh, well, they should have ran the tush push, the same play that they didn't get the previous time. Even
they
though
did
it
get
like
it the previous time.
Well, they ruled that Connor Hayward was short.
Brian, how does replay assist work? When does it step in and when not? The play before that, Kenneth Gainwell was literally 1 inch shy of a first down, and they ruled a first down, and then replay assist steps in and says, oh, no, he didn't get that. It's fourth and one. Then on fourth and one, Hayward clearly gets the first down, and who's ever running replay assist just sits there? Is that the way this works?
Well, turnovers on downs are automatically reviewed now, change of possession. So I would assume that someone up there did take a look
and failed
short
and failed. Well, he wasn't short.
I guess they ruled his progress was stopped. I actually
his progress
don't mind
wasn't
that because
wait, what?
Well,
mind what them getting them mangling every all these spot calls.
If we're going to argue spot calls, that's like arguing balls and strikes. I mean, there's going to be balls that are close and ones that aren't.
Wait a second. But Connor Hayward got that first down by a lot, and it was a huge play in the game.
On the second effort, yeah. I would actually like, though, for refs to officiate the tush push. If it's going to be abused like this by the Eagles and all these other teams, you better get it comfortably and without any doubt. Or
he
else,
did.
No, we're stopping you short.
He did get it comfortably, and I have no idea.
On the second effort.
If I'm a coach, I have no idea when replay assist steps in, is supposed to step in, and when I'm supposed to throw my challenge flag. I think it's worse than it's ever been. It's not evolving. The replay system is not evolving, it's devolving. Do you agree with that?
I guess. I don't know. It affects both teams. I don't really care too much about those things.
Brian's really depressing me today, Limits. Did we offend him at some point?
I think we offended him, or either you are depressing him to the point of shortness with his answers. And I feel bad for Brian, and I feel like that we should let him go.
Brian, do you want to go now?
It's all right.
Was it something I'm about the tail? The owl pellets? Deer?
What deer?
Yeah.
That one I just didn't, I didn't really know where to go with owl pellets or actually salamander tails for that matter. But
yeah, that's understandable.
That one caught me off guard. Not one of those niche areas of knowledge for me, unfortunately.
Any hard feelings as we part?
No, not at all.
All right. We'll talk to you later.
Bye, Brian.
All right. See you guys.
Limits, is he on medication right now? He seemed completely unemotional there.
Yeah, I don't know what the issue was.
What, did you sense an issue?
At the end, I did.
Yeah.
It's kind of like when you know the press conference is wrapping up and we were just waiting for Burke right. to say, anyone else?
We
need Craig to come in here and say, anyone else? Anything else?
You should clip Bert saying that, and we can play it during interviews like that.
I think we should.
Did it go sour when I questioned Carter at the beginning? I didn't even question him. He has a right to ask that question.
Maybe that offended him because him and Carter are friends and colleagues.
I don't know.
Like, you are a colleague of Carter.
Yeah, and I like Carter.
Yeah, I do too.
I thought he wrote a great piece this week. I don't know what's going on here. All of a sudden, the Batconian mongoose goes south on me. I don't know why that just happened.
Hmm.
All right.
We just needed something to lighten the mood.
When was that? Was that at one of the volunteer fire things we had? I think it was.
I don't know what it was from.
I'll say this about James Harrison. Among the upper quartile of players Mike Tomlin coached, he is by far the most critical. Way more than even Ben. I don't think Ben goes after Mike Tomlin the same way that James Harrison does. I mean, right after Harrison retired.
I don't think James likes the way his Steelers career ended. He felt like he was sold a bill of goods, and then Mike said one thing, did another, didn't play him against in favor of a guy he thought he was clearly better than and mm-hmm. probably was at that point. And then I think that's a huge part of it. There's some lingering resentment. I also just think Harrison in this setting is going to be a tell it like it is, pretty straightforward, blunt human being.
So that's what I was going to say. Like, I think he definitely has an axe to grind. I think that he has no qualms or no reservations about going after a sacred cow, even if it might, you know, completely ruin the relationship if he even has one with Mike. And maybe makes some things awkward between himself and the Steelers organization. I don't think he cares.
I also think he has a very low tolerance when it comes to BS, like in football.
Yeah.
He is I'm going to go straight forward and tell you how it is. That's how I played. And what does Mike love to do?
So
spin yarns,
so
tell stories.
I think if he were the only one saying this and you wanted to be the Mike Tomlin defender, you could say that James Harrison is only saying these things because he's got a vendetta against Mike. But then you've got Trey Essex who comes on our station, and listen to this. He pretty much, guy won a Super Bowl with Mike as well, said the same exact thing.
It's a scheme thing, dude. It's all scheme. It's the talent is there. And for us to have, and I use this analogy, but it applies every week, Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde, for us to go out there and play the way we played against a Colts team, for us to play the way we played last week versus one of the hottest offensive teams in the league, in the Bengals last week, and then to come out and just do that, I don't understand. I do understand. It is definitely scheme because the talent is there. And when you have the players come after the game and just say they don't know, when Wilson comes and it's like we're the best defense on one play and they were not on other plays, like this is – it points strictly to the coaching and the positions that they're being put in on a play-to-play, game-to-game basis because it's not consistent, and these guys seem to be confused.
I would also say that I've been going back and forth on Twitter just publicly with Trey, not like arguing, but like commiserating about the state of things. So I know he's like frustrated by this as a guy who played for this team and you know, was a very, I think, eloquent guest when he talks about this team.
think about what you're getting there, too. One each side of the ball. It's not like you're getting two guys who played defense or two guys who played offense. You're getting an offensive lineman and a guy who that offensive lineman would have been trying to stop saying the scheme sucks. Now, I think Trey, I'd probably say that their personnel is a little overrated because so many of the key guys are over 30, which is usually not a good sign in the NFL. But those two are saying it. Patrick Queen after the game is kind of hinting at, yes, we could have fixed these things, but we didn't. Mike is just dodging like it's no one's business a very straightforward question about a wide open touchdown. Yeah, man, seems like the scheme, if the scheme is still interesting and good, his ability to call it on the fly and correctly play chess against the other offensive coordinators in the league has eroded.
Well, here's why I think he gives it away in their offseason moves. I think we know it's not a scheme thing. I mean, what I'm saying is I think he knows it's not the system or the scheme that wins them games. If you believe that the system or scheme won you games, you'd spend less money on defense and you'd put more of it into the offense. Why would you put that amount of money into your defense if you were such a smart defensive schemer? You would look at your team and say, I would think logically, let me invest in the areas where I'm not as good. And then let me coach up my defense.
I don't know. Teams do the opposite, though, with offense of what you're describing. If a team knows they've got a great quarterback, I think they try to load up and spend around the guy and then say, we have a great scheme and great players to run it. We'll just try to figure it out on defense with young guys. Like, I think Mike probably looked at his defense and said, my scheme is really good, and if I get really good players in here, best of both worlds, we'll be historically dominant. I think that's how they viewed it.
Well, then, by that logic, by that way of thinking, then he is honestly one of the worst defensive coaches in the entire NFL.
I don't think he's in the upper half, that's for sure.
When you've spent that amount of money on defensive players, and these are the results you're getting?
Pony, his defensive philosophy is go get interceptions, go get fumbles, sack the quarterback. And when they don't do those things, and like a team has some answers for them, they get strafed. He acted like Joe Flacco, who's like close to the AARP designation, was the boogeyman.
I know, but that doesn't jive with what Trey said. Trey said they're confused. If the defense is just, hey, go out there and make a play, that's not being bogged down. That's not thinking on the field because it's a complicated defense and you don't know where you're supposed to be.
But I thought
one is it?
But I thought we were already told they simplified it once. So is it ultra complex and now even in its simplified version, it's still too hot to handle? Or do they have like the worst football IQ back there? I don't think Jalen Ramsey's got low football IQ. When I hear Patrick Queen talk, I don't think this is a guy that can't figure out basic concepts. I just think the scheme is junk. And I think the guy running it at this point or calling the plays and dialing up what he wants is getting beat in his chess matches repeatedly.
Well, then you've lost the competitive advantage that is having Mike Tomlin as your head coach. If Kyle Shanahan, Sean McVay, and Andy Reid had their former players saying, this offensive scheme is garbage, if I were the owner of the team and had agency over the situation, I would ask myself, well, wait a minute, why am I employing this guy then? He's supposed to, especially on his side of the ball, he's supposed to give me an advantage there.
I'm sure they would tell you Mike's advantages that he confers are twofold. They would say he's a great offensive or defensive mind, and his ability to get his guys to play hard for him is unrivaled.
But he's clearly not a defensive. How could they?
I know he's not. I'm saying that's what they would say.
But how can they now? The results aren't there, and it's not out of a lack of, you know, the excuse that we have the Tomlin apologist calling into the show with for him overall is, well, look at the quarterbacks he's been given. Look at the quarterbacks. That's why their offense stinks.
You say how could they like be so blind as to not acknowledge what the defense is? When Art Rooney talks once a year about this team, he does so with the excitement of a guy ordering breakfast. Of course he could just ignore the obvious.
I'm not talking about him necessarily now. I'm now passing the football off to the people that defend him, fans that defend him. How do you defend his defense? What? Who's the blank? Who gets the Terrell Austin? His lieutenant? You're going to say the GM went out and got
actually,
bad guys?
The diehard Tomlin backers that are still out there absolutely say Terrell Austin is the guy who runs the defense. I do hear that. He is absolutely the guy who gets blamed. Or you could be like the one guy who was tweeting me today who insists that the main problem they have is that they have Jack Sawyer. That's a real thing that somebody says.
Wait, what?
Somebody has insisted to me that the three biggest two of the biggest problems they have are Jack Sawyer and Nick Herbig.
He plays 15 defensive snaps a game.
The person called them one-dimensional players.
Okay.
I'm just telling you that you want to know what the fringe is saying out there? That's some of the stuff they're saying.
We have breaking Steelers news. 26 candidates move along now in the modern era players category. And it becomes semifinalists into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. I read that terribly. I'm just going to read the tweet. A total of 26 candidates in the modern era players category have reached the semifinalist stage for possible election to the Pro Football Hall of Fame's class of 2026. Hines Ward on that list.
Only Steeler?
I'm still scrolling.
How many pick guys?
Larry Fitzgerald.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
At Maurice's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Maurice's.com.
Black Friday? More like Black Fri-yay. Shop the DSW Black Friday sale and take 30% off almost all the shoes, accessories, and giftable goodies we've got at DSW.com. Plus 30% off just about every regular price item at your DSW store. Score shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget. So carpe the deal. Head to Designer Shoe Warehouse and get that gift list done. DSW, let us surprise you.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Looking for a new way to grow your business? With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising on TikTok, now's the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/tiktokads, and grow your business fast.
That's it for the pit, guys.
That's it?
Yeah. Look at you always thinking about pit. I think Larry gets in.
Shady's not on there? Ruben Brown?
Not yet. Shady didn't retire long enough ago, I don't think. He'll get in. We've talked about that a bunch.
He'll probably get in. Yeah. Ruben Brown will probably get in. Maybe Larry will get in. Aaron Donald will get in.
Oh, Aaron will be unanimous first team. The only way Larry Fitzgerald doesn't get in is if Ron Cook's on the Hall of Fame committee. You like that one, Horse?
I haven't heard that one before.
We have pit tickets to give away, by the way. And so we will open up the phone lines at 412-928-9370. All you got to do to win a 4-pack of tickets to Pitt, Miami on Saturday is call up and answer a trivia question correctly. You got to be the first person to answer said trivia question correctly. So call in now for your chance to win Pitt tickets at 412-928-9370. The more I thought about Hines Ward, the more I do think he deserves to be included in the hall. I was always an anti-Hines guy because when I compare players, I like to do it with players of the same era. And I never thought Hines was one of the two or three best receivers in the sport.
No, he wasn't.
He wasn't. But I don't know if that's the best way to do it. You needed a third down conversion, Hines Ward's doing. He's got good counting stats, not great counting stats, good counting stats. 1,000 receptions, 12,000 yards, bunch of touchdowns. But it's what he did in the postseason that I think needs to be the separator. He was a dog in the postseason. Played in 18 playoff games. There were 12-6 in those games. He won a Super Bowl MVP. He had 1,200 yards. He was outstanding.
How can you justify that if, well, you know, the only way you can justify that is if the guys that he's going against weren't also the top receivers in the league.
Well, that's always the problem, right? Like, because if you ask me Larry Fitzgerald or Hines Ward, you got to go with Larry Fitzgerald.
Right. That's the problem.
And it's not even close. Right. It's not even close. Like, if I, you're right. If I examine Hines in a vacuum, which is a weird visual, like that guy, to me, is a Hall of Famer.
Mm-hmm.
Rules change because of him. He knock your socks off. People say it's not wide receiver. It's not wide blocker. It's wide receiver. No, it's all part of it. It's all part of it. Be different. He was different because he would block you like a tight end, and he didn't care if he was going to send you into next Thursday. And he'd also make the big third down catch, and you'd knock his socks off, and he'd get up, smile, and he'd drool in your face. Hines Ward played football the way a Pittsburgh Steeler should play football.
See, that's the problem, too, is we have that lens of him being a Steeler. Now, if you poll other fans during that era from other teams, would they look at Hines Ward as like, are you going into a game like you're going into tomorrow or Sunday, where it's like, oh, they have Josh Allen. You think people were like, oh, Steelers have Hines Ward?
I think so.
I don't.
I think so. What are you worried about? That guy's going to burn you on third downs. He's going to take your head off. I think he's the guy you circle on the offense.
Mm.
He's going to murder you.
Jerome Bettis was.
I think you know you got to keep your head on a swivel. They put a bounty on him in Baltimore. Like, he's not the most difficult guy to game plan or like.
I'm saying like somebody that is like, we talk about explosive players. Like, we think about Justin Jefferson. We think about Ja'Marr Chase having 16 catches. I mean, sure, this is a different era, clearly. But like Andre Johnson, Calvin Johnson, like people are like, oh, well, we can't let them wreck the game.
Hines wasn't a game wrecker.
Right.
But he could wreck your brain.
Right. And that doesn't matter for the
so you Hall don't think Hines is a Hall of Famer?
I do from a Steelers perspective, yes. And seeing him week in and week out whenever I was growing up. But I think compared to other wide receivers that are capable of making the Hall of Fame, I think he's very low on the list.
Well, and that's well said, too, because there is an appreciation level that we would have for Hines that the national media wouldn't have as much.
Right.
Because we saw not even just week in, week out, but play in, play out.
Like, so compare him to Antonio Brown.
AB was a better football player.
He was a better wide receiver, yes.
Better wide, well, yeah, good point.
Better wide receiver.
Yeah.
And that's what the Hall of Fame is about.
The best of the best.
Not the best football player, but the best at the position.
Well, I think it depends on who you ask. I think ultimately you're going to be right. If it were me, and I would do it for 80K, I'd put Hines in as a football player.
But would you put him in?
Ahead of the guys?
No, if you were from California and you were a voter, would you put him in? No, not because you don't know about like the little things he did and how he was as a football player.
Yeah, I think watching him week in and week out and literally having seen every single snap he played gives us a different appreciation level.
Mm-hmm.
And it would be my job as the Ed Bouchette of this hypothetical Hall of Fame room to try to impart that wisdom upon the other voters.
Right.
And I think you're right. I think I'd have my work cut out for me whenever you would play a PowerPoint presentation of Larry Fitzgerald and there he is jumping over 15 guys for a Hail Mary at the end of a game.
Like, if I was a voter, and I was specifically voting on wide receivers, my criteria would start with, all right, like, is that guy going to beat us? I don't know if people think that Hines Ward was going to beat them. It was more like the Polamalu was going to beat them. Antonio Brown was going to beat them. I don't think people would be like, yeah, well, Hines Ward is going to go for 10 catches and 200 yards and 3 touchdowns. No.
You can win you win games with Hines. I don't know that you win Super Bowls with AB. I realize he did, but that was with the GOAT. Like, I think guys and AB's in a class above guys like George Pickens, obviously. I would sign up for Hines Ward though probably 10 times out of 10 over Antonio Brown if I'm trying to win games.
Mm.
How about that?
I don't know about
How about that?
I don't know. I'm taking AB. I'm trying to win games. He's going to win me the game by himself.
Where's his Super Bowl MVP? I mean, Ben didn't win one with AB, won one with Hines. It was all Hines. All right, you ready for this Pitt trivia question?
Sure.
Because this is one of those things I don't even think we can open up the phone lines on, because 100% of the callers are going to agree with me and the voters are going to agree with you is the way that's going to go.
Nick, it's a pleasure to have you. I don't believe we've ever spoken before. You're a recent graduate of Slippery Rock. Am I right about that?
No.
Yes, sir. It's the great Nick Faribault, Penn Live. He's on our YouTube channel. You should subscribe. It don't cost nothing. Just go to our website, 937thefan.com, or go straight to YouTube. And our numbers are just flying on there. Lots of people want to see Bob, I guess, when he's here.
He's glowing today. The cardboard cutout of Bob is glowing. I don't know if it's because of the angle that he's at.
Yeah, he looks great. He really does. He's always dressed in the same thing in that cardboard cutout.
And he's always dressed for success.
Yet he's dressed marvelously. Nick, how are you today?
I'm doing well, Joe. How are you?
I've never been worse, and I value your inquiry. What do we got here? We got Bills and Steelers. I want to start there, believe it or not, before we look back. I think the Steelers, because they specialize in teasing us, and they do deliver at home every once in a while just enough, are going to beat what I consider to be a mediocre Bills team that has been absolutely ransacked by Atlanta, Miami, and Houston in three road games. Thoughts?
I could see it. The Bills are a really good run offense, and Josh Allen is still Josh Allen, but that's not a good receiving core. That offensive line, pass pro-wise, it's been a little shaky. And the defense, that Bills defense has not played very well this year.
17 rushing touchdowns they've allowed. Think about that.
Yeah. I mean, the Steelers should be able to run the ball in this game. They were able to run it last week, though, and it didn't really matter, did it? And so, the Steelers are going to be able, I think, to compete with the Bills. The Bills are not good this year. They're okay. They're going to make the playoffs probably, and they'll maybe even make some noise. Because Josh Allen is, I think, one of those special quarterbacks. And that's obviously why I'm always going to have trepidation to ever pick the Steelers to beat the Bills, the Chiefs. They just don't have the quarterback tier that of a guy like Josh Allen. But this team is very beatable. The Steelers can win this game. They could certainly beat the Ravens, too. You know, I want to loop them both together because not only are the Bills very beatable, watch the Ravens games. Even during this five-game winning streak, the Ravens are very beatable. They're not that good either. They have a lot of issues themselves. The Steelers could certainly win these games, but the Steelers are also, in my opinion, and I wrote it after the game, they are the NFL's most mediocre football team. I truly believe that. I think they're not bad. They're not good. They're kind of in the middle. So I certainly could see them winning this week. It's not a bad matchup for them. There's a formula there for them to win this week.
Yeah, I would agree. Do you think they get away from the run too often? Like, I realize they ran for 186 yards on Sunday or thereabouts, and yet it still felt like there were situations, second play of the game. Gainwell just gained 9 yards. What are you going deep to Metcalf for? Second half, you're throwing on first down? You're throwing on a second down where Rudolph, he did that ridiculous slide? Why not run more? I think of the Green Bay game. There are games where I honestly feel like if they handed the ball off conventionally every single play, they'd have a better chance of winning.
Yeah, they have a far higher in terms of just play percentage. They passed more this year than they do last year, which is kind of crazy to think about because they could not run the ball well last year at all. Now they have a run game and they just go away from it. I don't really understand. I think sometimes when Rodgers is in there, I think he checks out of those run plays. That's a pretty common Rodgers thing. If he sees a passing window that he wants to take, he'll check out of run plays. So I'm not surprised by that overall. But even last week, you know, with Rudolph in there, Rudolph's not checking out of those plays. The Steelers just kind of go away from it. I don't know why. Especially you talk about the Green Bay game. I mean, that first half, Green Bay had not been tested on the ground, and the Steelers just ran it at will throughout most of that half and then did not go back to it at all until the fourth quarter of that game. It really makes no sense. So I think they absolutely go away from the run a little too often. They try and use this quick game stuff as kind of an extension of the run game, the screen plays and these other little quick 4 to 5 yard routes. So I think that's the way that they think that they can keep the run game working. But the teams, if they can't stop them, I mean, the Steelers should have run the ball over 40 times in this game. They should have kept leaning on the Bears and forcing them to stop. And they just didn't. They gave the Bears outs. I understand the Bears also were missing their top two corners, so you maybe wanted to take some chances in getting the explosives down the field. But if you were running the ball really well, and they were getting explosives on the ground, that was the other thing. It's not like they were just getting 4 or 5 yards. They were getting 10, 11, 12. Obviously, Kenny Gainwell's big run. They got explosives on the ground game too. So they were getting 15-yard runs in chunks at a time. So they should have just kept running the ball, and they went away from it too often, put the game in Mason Rudolph's hands, and Rudolph didn't deliver. He played, I thought, was one of his poorest games in a Steelers uniform in a minute.
You should tell Greg that. He accused me of attacking Mason Rudolph simply because I said he played poorly and I thought they would have won the game with Rodgers. And I say it in the parameters of I don't like Tomlin's overall offensive philosophy. I don't like Arthur Smith as a coordinator, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And Rudolph played a poor game. Expound on that.
Rudolph played very badly. I don't think there's any way to really say that. I mean, really, we could just use it in one microcosm. There's two plays. One, Roman Wilson on the second to last drive beats a guy deep, and Rudolph doesn't even give him a chance. He just rainbows the ball out of bounds.
Greg says that's a very difficult throw to make, to which I would say for an NFL quarterback, that's a throw where you have to give a guy a chance 10 times out of 10.
100%. If he throws it right up the red line, Roman Wilson catches that, and honestly, he has enough separation to where if that's in stride,
yeah,
he might be gone. Like yeah. That, it's that good of a route. Roman Wilson was wide open, by the way, multiple times on Sunday. Did not get the football. There's another play on that same play where he airs it out, but Metcalf is wide open on the crosser, and if he catches that, it's a foot race to the end zone. He turned down some throws across the middle of the field. I thought his deep ball was poor. I thought the pick was on him, the Metcalf. I know DK's not a great 50-50 ball guy, and he's not going up in a game. That ball was underthrown to the inside. You got to throw it to the outside shoulder on that play. There's just a lot of things with Mason Rudolph I thought that were lacking. He ran into the sack. The second sack, I get they had Darnell and Montez Sweat, and you probably don't love that matchup, but Rudolph turns down an open check down to Warren both times and then proceeds to fumble the football. There's multiple misreads on film. It's just – he did not play well at all. I think with Rodgers, they probably win that game. I thought the operation, just getting out of the huddle to the line of scrimmage at times also, Joe, was clunky.
Yeah.
I thought it led to some less than ideal circumstances. I think it led directly to the illegal formation penalty that brought back the big run by Mason. And then you can go to the last play of the game. You know, it was batted down by Brisker. He throws it to Metcalf, who's not going to catch that even if that ball is tipped. And he had Jonnu Smith potentially breaking open on a corner route. I just – there's a lot there with Mason that I think fell short.
Tomlin was –
Steelers offensive scheme did too.
Yeah. Tomlin was saying in his earpiece which player to throw to on every play, if you listen to a lot of people who want to blame Tomlin for every single thing Rudolph did in that game. It's all Tomlin's fault.
And it's pretty clear that DK Metcalf is not a 1-1 type receiver. If anything, he might be a 1-B or a very good 2. If anything, then, I would imagine, Nick.
Well, DK's a good player and is being underutilized, much like George Pickens was last year. I mean, we're seeing Pickens is doing in Dallas, and obviously the off-the-field and the crash-outs are not there anymore. But he caught 2 crossing routes all of last year. I think he's up to like 15 now this year in Dallas. The Steelers are immune to crossing routes, but they're still there. And Rudolph, as I mentioned, turned down one that would have been a foot race with Metcalf. DK is kind of in a weird spot. One, he's never been a great contested catch ball guy. People look at him and see he's 6'4 and, you know, 230 pounds, and think he should be able to go up and get the ball, but he plays pretty small at the catch ball. He doesn't really play very big. It's very Chase Claypool-esque in that way. You know, he's a big guy that doesn't really play big in the contested situation. So they need to stop doing that. I don't know why they're typecasting him like that. He is still getting separation. He's still winning on certain routes. Like, there's ways to utilize him. I thought they had it early in the year, and they've kind of gone away from it. So Metcalf is a good player. I'm not sure he's a $33 million per year player that they're paying him to be. But they are also just underutilizing him. It's coaching to a degree there. They need to stop throwing 50-50 balls down the sideline to this guy. That's not his game.
Nick Faribault of PennLive.com. We're getting ready for the Tomlin news conference, and I know Nick has to be over there. But first, let's play for Nick. Let's go with James Harrison about the defensive scheme. Nick, take a listen to this.
Defense. Soft. I'm tired Tebow. Of seeing the offensive linemen pushing our D-line 2-3 yards deep. We're undisciplined. Or poorly coached, or both. We have a horrible defensive scheme. It's trash. It's garbage. We can't adjust at halftime. It's non-existent. Or we're just being outcoached, or both.
Thoughts?
I mean, he's not wrong. I'll tell you this, Joe. We talked about the offensive coaching. I thought Arthur Smith did a fine job on Sunday. I have my qualms with him, but he didn't do a terrible job. What the defensive staff did in this game, you watch the film. There's so many basic things that are wrong. Let's just go to the second DJ Moore touchdown, the four verts touchdown. They are in cover three against trips. I don't know if people know this. That is a high school adjustment. If you see trips to one side of the field, you get out of cover three.
Explain to people what trips are and cover three while you're at it.
Yeah, trips is, you know, three guys to one side of the formation, and then you have one to the other side, which is a 3-by-1 formation. So that's trips. Cover three is simple. You have that two deep zones in the back, and then you have a roaming free safety in the middle of the field. And the reason you don't leave that open is because it puts those guys in conflict with one another. There's too much grass to cover that much, those many players, because you usually only have two sides. The math doesn't math, right? You have two guys deep. You have three guys there. And they just ran four routes. I don't even know if that was the play call. If I were a quarterback and I saw that, I would just be like, go, all four of you go deep, and we're going to have a free touchdown. That's what they did, because you can't play it. It's impossible. The defender, especially the free safety, Jalen Ramsey on that play, is put into an impossible situation. And that's a lot of what happened in this game.
Well, what happened what else happened on that play? Because I was just mentioning the limits. Echols and Porter both stood there clearly in a zone situation with nobody in front of them on that side of the field. They covered, both of them covered nobody. Moore ran right through them down the seam. Whose mistake was that?
I mean, that's country cover three, and Porter has to get more depth. But it's not his fault. That seam ball is going to be open if he does. Echols is the flat defender, so Echols is in the right there. And that's why it's bad math. Like, you don't. There's no reason to do that. Trips to one side against cover three is basic stuff. Then we talk about the two-yard touchdown run, Joe, and the Bears come out in 11 personnel, which is three wide receivers, one running back, and one tight end, on the two-yard line, and the Steelers respond by going into nickel. Like, there's two down defensive linemen, and they just run it right up the middle. Benton gets detonated off the line, and voila, you have a touchdown. Bad coaching. They're putting guys in bad positions. They also, we've talked about this, Joe, the too high stuff, right? It's been working. You know what they did in this game? They flipped it back to the old scheme. It was cover three, cover one, single high. It didn't allow the guys that were really good at kind of staying back and using their eyes and their high football IQ to just read through the offense and make aggressive plays downfield. That's what made it work. And, you know, the Steelers aren't the most athletic secondary, and they certainly don't have perfect personnel, but they have very smart players on that side of the football. And the cover two quarter stuff allowed them to do that. It allowed them to play aggressive, and it kind of took out the moxie of this group. So the coaching, I mean, just so much of it was malpractice in this game. I'll go this far. I think there are a few teams in the league right now that need to clean house on one side of the ball as much as the Steelers do on their defensive staff. I truly believe that.
Last thing I wanted to ask you, Nick, is just the unwillingness to utilize the middle of the field, especially with three starting linebackers out for the Bears. Why do you think that is? And is it just a fear factor of Mike Tomlin with any quarterback? And when will this potentially change?
Well, I think, you know, as we kind of talked about, Rudolph did miss a few reads to that area of the field. So they were trying it to a degree. But really, I mean, we're talking since 2020 here. You know, I think that's seven different quarterbacks. I think that's three different OCs. They don't target the middle of the field. And I think that is a Tomlin thing. You know, it's the type of profile they look for in a quarterback that can really target the sidelines and the perimeter. I mean, just look at Justin Fields, Russell Wilson, Aaron Rodgers, and Mason Rudolph. All four of them fit that profile. Kenny Pickett fit that profile too. You know, that's kind of the guy that they look for at quarterback. And that's a Tomlin decision. They make it consciously. And then they utilize a scheme to target the perimeter. That is a conscious decision. And so I think it is a Tomlin philosophy thing. We talk about the middle of the field being fertile for explosive plays, but it's also the area of the field where most interceptions happen. And so we talk. Tomlin really believes in turnover theory, which, I mean, is a big part of this. If you turn the ball over and if you don't get turnovers, you're going to lose the game. But they're highly volatile, and I don't think you can base off your whole football team off that idea. So, yeah, I think that is a big reason why. I think that it's a risk factor. I think it's a fear factor to a degree there, that he doesn't think he has the quarterback that can open up that part of the field. And I think that is the real fear factor.
Thank you, Nick. Great stuff as always. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks for having me on, guys, as always.
You can't count on much these days, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount+. Watch your local NFL game all season long, kicking off with the juicy Week 13 matchup between the Buffalo Bills and the Pittsburgh Steelers. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. Man, they have problems, and they are many, don't they, Lance?
And the problems are frequent, Joe. That's a huge part of the issue, man. A lot of these problems we've been talking about for so many years, and they just don't change it because the root of the problem is the same.
Well, the head coach will answer for it, we
hope. Will he?
And we'll see what he says about Aaron Rodgers at the top of the hour. But up next, let's talk a little college football, because that team actually deserves some praise. And I know Limits has some college football questions for me regarding Penn State. And who knows, maybe even Crowley's Mountaineers.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day.
We saw up to a 10x return on our TikTok shop ads. A few years ago, I started sharing my love for fashion on social media, and Willow Boutique was born. We're not just a place to shop. We've really become a community. TikTok allows us to find more people to have that great experience. I cannot imagine my business without TikTok. It's completely changed my life, and I could not be happier.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Get ready to shop Lowe's Black Friday Doorbuster Deals to save $150 on a 30-inch Blackstone griddle, now $299. Plus, choose a Whirlpool top load washer or Midea top freezer refrigerator for just $398. These limited-time Doorbuster Deals go fast, so get holiday ready today at Lowe's. We help, you save. Valid 11/28 through 12/1. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.